It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
What a day, huh? Before I get to the phones here on what the Dodgers have brought forth, coming up, I want to talk about California building resilience centers for $200 million. With, you know, at the same time, the Democrats and the governor want to close five more prisons. That's the wish in the next, you know, up until about 2027, five more prisons. Also, China, a jet carrying out a very aggressive maneuver in front of a U.S. military plane. This was a very threatening situation. Could have been extremely ugly. The Biden rape accuser, Tara Reid, has defected. Where is she gone? That's the wild one. And then, you know, I mean, the Marines that were beaten up by the teens. We've got, you know, a huge drug shortage, prescription drugs in the United States. I mean, there's so much going on. Todd, thank you for waiting. You're on KMJ. Hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Ray. Yeah, really, really colossally stupid move, because if you think about it, the Dodgers probably have the largest Hispanic fan base in all of baseball.
Good point.
Which, by the way, most of them tend to lean towards being Catholic.
Yeah.
And I, you know, sports for the longest time, you can go back to the Depression, you could go back to 9/11. Has been our escape from everything. It's the great thing about sports, that we can take our mind off stuff for just a little bit. And all of them, baseball, bat, it doesn't matter what it is, they have forgotten that.
Well, I mean, it's just like that whole episode with our friend who was the QB for the San Francisco 49ers and that whole take a knee routine. I mean, although I think this is a little heavier and a little bit more divisive than that. But you're right. I mean, these things that are like a great escape that are being poisoned or changed through, you know, this political correctness, you know, from drinking beer to shopping at Target to going to a ball game, those are all decidedly American things. And even though it sounds kind of, you know, boring and mundane, you know, shopping at Target, who cares? That's a pastime for many families and, you know, who like to do that. And it gets disrupted by this, you know, politically correct stuff. You're right. I mean, there's a time and a place, but none of this is right for all of those places that have become involved in this latest episode of political correctness. Todd, thank you. And great point about the Hispanic following of the Dodgers and, you know, how most of them are Catholic. And again, somebody in marketing not thinking. My God. John, hi, welcome.
The people that are pushing this agenda are in the minority, you know, and I just don't understand why they need to push their life agenda on the people of this country. We don't push our agenda on them. We just live our lives. We do what we got to do. I know people of all different categories of their sexual preference, and they don't agree with us either. You know, it's strange that whether it be putting a transgender on a can or Target or the Dodgers, you know, this previous caller was right. 95% of the people that go to the Giants game are Hispanic, I mean the Dodgers, and they are Christian or Catholic. And I don't understand why the Toronto Blue Jay pitcher had to apologize, because if he's that good of a pitcher, he gets cut. He's going to get picked up by somebody else. And if you truly believe that it's wrong, they have enough money in the bank. They don't have to work again. Walk away. That's what I would do.
Yeah, if they have enough money to do that, certainly, John. Thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, everybody knows that my oldest boy, Paul, who passed away because of cancer a few years back, was gay. But, I mean, he would even draw the line at things like this, understanding that fully he was in a minority of people. And the only thing he wanted out of the whole thing is just to be treated like everybody else and nothing special. Now we've crossed beyond that to everybody has to be treated special. You know, they are owed. Therefore, you know, they're free to do their thing hither and yon, and we have to appreciate it or else. You know, it's become threatening in many particular cases, which is, that's not the way that it works when you're trying to give somebody a particular nod of equality. I'm probably not saying that correct, but I think you understand what I'm talking about. Listen, Go ahead and keep the calls coming in about the Dodgers. I want to get to some of the other stories. Tara Reid, does that ring a bell? She's the former staffer for the then-Senator Joe Biden, right? She accused Biden during the 2020 presidential campaign of rape, sexually assaulting her. She's made a very odd decision. She has defected to Russia. She made the announcement during a Russian state press conference while she sat next to a Russian spy, Maria Butina, who was previously convicted and sentenced to prison in the USA for conspiring to act as an agent of Russia inside of the US. I'm still kind of in a daze, but I feel very good. I'm feeling surrounded by protection and safety. And I just really appreciate Maria Butina and everyone else who's been giving me that all the time that I've been here when it's become, you know, very difficult to know whether I was safe or not. End quote. I don't know if this helps her case or not. I mean, she doesn't even have one anymore if she's over there and trying to pin something on Biden. I'm not going to be intimidated, bullied, or silenced. I'm going to speak out. I'm willing to speak out under oath about the corruption that I witnessed and about the crime that I experienced. And it's remarkable that Joe Biden raped me when I worked for him at the U.S. Congress, and I'm supposed to be the fugitive? That's ridiculous and unacceptable. But she's stepped in her own minefield here. I mean, she's, you know, in Russia now, sitting down with a spy that you know, committed crimes against the United States, and she's willing to speak under oath? It's a little too late for that. That should have been done over here. Reid said that she was, you know, requesting of President Putin to make her a citizen of the Russian Federation. I'm going to make the request, and it's a large one. I'd like to apply for citizenship of Russia from the president of the Russian Federation, Vladimir Putin, and I hope that Maria can help me from inside of the State Duma. I do promise to be a good citizen and move forward with my life in a positive way. My God. I mean, she took a lot of shots, not only at Biden, but at the United States, and spouted a lot of pro-Kremlin talking points. Now, she alleged during the 2020 presidential election that in 93, then-Senator Biden forced himself upon her while she was a staffer in a deserted hallway of the Senate building, and she was penetrated with his fingers, pardon me, and she said she was ignored by the mainstream media for weeks. Her allegations was finally addressed by the New York Times in a much scrutinized examination of Reid's allegation that Biden's campaign initially portrayed as having exonerated him, but which the Times made clear in a strong rebuke of the Biden camp had not. I mean, they found a reason to believe her and felt that this was true, even though they later became his main source of cover in New York when he was running for the presidency. She documented the alleged assault in late March of 2020, saying that it happened when a supervisor instructed her to take a gym bag to Biden. I handed him the thing. He greeted me. He remembered my name. Then we were alone. It was the strangest thing. There was no, like, exchange of, hey, how are you? He just had me up against the wall. I was wearing a skirt. It all happened at once. His hands were on me and underneath my clothes. And then she goes on from there with a graphic, you know, explanation of what he did. And she decides to go ahead and go to Russia and ask Putin for citizenship. I don't understand. But this is going to work out very well for Biden if this is true. Nobody's going to believe her. She's talking about, you know, testifying under oath. Under whose oath? Theirs or ours? She messed up. Messed up big time. And I'm sure Mr. Biden is a very, very happy man as of today, if indeed this was true. What a weird, weird story. I mean, I that one just hammers me. I don't know why anybody would do that. I have no clue. Quick break here, and we'll come back with more. I mean, the stories today are very different. But, hey, I got to hammer them, and hammer them I will. At News Talk 580-1059, KMJ, and this, the Ray Appleton Program. Stay with me, please.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
Ray Appleton.
Now. Right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
I want to remind you again of something happening this weekend on Saturday that I've been telling you about since 1992. And that is the open house out at Eagle Field, the last standing Army Air Training Base from World War II. If you've never been there or know what I'm talking about, you got to do this. In fact, this could be one of your last opportunities. Everybody that's involved in this is not getting any younger. And I'm not saying it is, but this could be the last ride of, as it is, you'll get the B-25s that fly in, one or two of them, some other airplanes from World War II. And there, the place is loaded with World War II memorabilia from that era. And again, I mean, it's the last standing Army Air Training Base from World War II. The officers' quarters are there, now a museum. Cadets' quarters are there. They need a little work, but they're there. The main hangar where there's that big dinner, fabulous food. Boy, they put out a meal, knock you out. But this is like so going back in time. You can see my tank that I bought from the city that used to be out at Roding Park. It's parked out there. But there are like 60-some-odd working vehicles from, the military base in World War II. It's just a great thing. And before I get out of here, I'll give you a phone number and some information about getting tickets if it's not sold out yet. I don't believe it is. But what an event. Take the kids, please. Whole family, you'll learn from this. It's just amazing history. And I'm hoping I can go. I'm scheduled for a procedure on my legs. I've got problems with my veins and circulation now. Hey, I'm old. Friday afternoon. It's an outpatient thing. But without getting into any reasons here, I'm beginning to think that may be postponed. I don't, just something kind of weird has happened. But yeah, forget that. Listen, speaking of medical stuff and drugs, there are record shortages across the USA of prescription drugs. This is so weird. It's potentially delaying all kinds of life-saving treatments for thousands of patients around the country. Congress and the White House are scrambling to address this shortfall in prescription drugs. Everything from painkillers to cancer treatments. Hospitals all over the country and sometimes weekly on a regular basis have to review which drugs are in short supply and are not available that week and make some, very ugly decisions. The shortage is being most acutely felt in the generic drug market, which accounts for like 90% of U.S. prescriptions, I believe. The exact number of drugs affected depends upon who you ask, but according to a Senate report at the end of last year, the U.S. reached a peak of 295 active drug shortages. Whoa! That's amazing. The FDA claims there are 130. The American Society of Health reports there are 301. According to the FDA, the average drug shortage lasts about a year and a half. But some of these drug shortages have stretched out for 15 years. Some of the medicines we take for granted, Tylenol, for crying out loud, is in short supply. Adderall, various antibiotics, including amoxicillin, saline mixtures used in IVs, we take those for granted. Almost 2 dozen kinds of anti-cancer drugs are in short supply. Horrible. And the last group, it's especially troubling. because unlike some of the other drugs in short supply, patients don't have a lot of alternate options for treatments when it comes to chemotherapies for the breast cancer and ovarian cancer and lung cancer and bladder cancer and some forms of leukemia. Treatment has been delayed or disrupted. Sometimes, I'm so sorry to say, with fatal consequences. So, according to one recent survey in the Society of Gynecologic Oncology, doctors in 35 states say that they've had little to no supply of multiple chemotherapy drugs, including specialists at cancer centers. That's a horrible position to be in. You know, with less medicine and the same number of patients who need it, doctors around the country have been having some very hard conversations about who does and who doesn't get their dose. You know, and with dozens of active shortages, there's no single overriding factor that explains all these shortfalls. I'd love to be able to tell you why. Some drugs, like Adderall and Ozempic, are skyrocketing in popularity due to alternative uses, exhausting the limited supplies. Adderall is meant to treat, you know, ADHD, but is abused by a lot of students and professionals to increase concentration on various, cognitive demanding tasks. Ozempic is meant to treat type 2 diabetes, but has been used as a miracle weight loss drug, and the supply has not caught up with the surge in demand. Other observers have attributed the shortages to what would have to be disruptions in the global supply chain. Exact statistics are difficult, I would imagine, to come by, but part of the problem is that the supply chain for some pharmaceuticals is not totally transparent, to the point where regulators unfortunately don't even know where everything is coming from. That's amazing. Near as the Senate can tell, about 80% of pharmaceutically active ingredients, the most important part of any drug, are manufactured outside of the United States. Mm. And if these foreign sources had their economies locked down or started hoarding supplies, and hoarding is a problem here, I will explain, that could completely gut our supply chain. China, hello, often has been highlighted as a prominent and problematic international supplier, and many lawmakers view this as a serious strategic weakness for the United States. And other observers have claimed that the problem is more domestic in nature. They say doctors have a tendency to overprescribe antibiotics to patients who actually don't need them, which make them less available and less effective for patients who do. Panic buying has also been blamed. A perceived shortage can become a self-fulfilling prophecy as consumers rush to buy up all the available supply of whatever. Man, this is weird. But many life-saving drugs aren't very profitable to make, with some bringing in only pennies per dose. So those narrow margins discourage newcomers from entering into the sector. And if there are supply chain issues that make the product even more expensive, you got established players are most likely to cut corners or stop making them altogether. And the people that depend upon them are out of luck. So, man, there we go. There's been an upward trend in the number of drug shortages over the last couple of years. While the prices of generic drugs have dropped 50% since 2016, several factors, though, I'm told, have prevented drug prices from shifting as a function of the supply and demand. So the pharmaceutical market is highly consolidated. While there are thousands of hospitals and pharmacies that must get their supplies from a smaller number of intermediary firms. And a review by Healthcare Analytics, a company called IQVIA, they found that three buyers purchase 90% of the generic drugs. Whoa. With so few potential customers, each one has substantial leverage over what price they're going to pay. Man, and the U.S. government is a major player in healthcare, and lawmakers, I mean, they've passed limits on how much companies are allowed to charge for various drugs. But at the moment, this is a big problem. There's no signs of it straightening out at the moment. And when there is, I'll let you know. But what a mess to face a massive shortfall in prescription drugs. And even drugs, as I mentioned, like Tylenol, over the counter, are becoming scarce. You know, what in the hell is going on? Not good. Not good. Not happy to bring you that story.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
It's free.
Now, Ray Appleton.
Everybody ask Michael how much he likes Sammy Hagar, all right? Going back in my deep, dark past, one of the, maybe it was the first big gig I ever played with a headlining group. It was a gig at the Rainbow Ballroom, and there was a huge band out of England at the time called Slade. And I was opening for Slade with my band. And the middle act was Montrose, Ronnie Montrose, the lead singer, Sammy Hagar. Nobody had a clue who any of them were. I mean, what's Montrose? I have no idea. What's Sammy Hagar? I don't know. But I remember Sammy Hagar vividly from that night because I was having a hard time unloading my equipment from my mother's 1963 Rambler American station wagon, and he very kindly humped everything in for me, all of my gear, you know, as a bass player. And I go, man, let me help you get your stuff. Dude, I'm just a singer. I got nothing to do until I go on stage. I don't mind helping you at all. Very kind. Very kind, and that was my first introduction to Sammy Hagar way back. We're probably talking like 1972. Nurse! Phone number, Eagle Field tickets for Saturday night, the dinner dance. That's the only way you're getting in. You're going to have tickets for this. Talk to Michelle, area code 925-383-3916. You got it? Once again, that's 925-383-3916. Michelle, my belle. Sunday, monkey bone, très bien en son, très bien en son. You got it? One more time, 925-383-3916. Michelle, Eagle Field. Dinner dance tickets. That way you can be a part of the whole thing, the fly-in, the old gear flying in, the, yeah. I tell you, I just love it when they start coming in, the sound off in the distance. There, they're coming, you know, and just, well, it's so neat. They do a low-level pass over the hangar. It's just very cool, very cool. And hopefully not the last time, but we'll see. The Chinese... this is really bad. It's a Chinese, I think it was a J-16 fighter, flew directly in front of an American service plane in international airspace over the South China Sea. This was Friday. This was forcing the U.S. Air Force plane to fly through the fighter's wake turbulence, causing the U.S. aircraft to shake and some problems. I mean, it could have been really bad. The U.S. Indo-Pacific Command labeled the Chinese intercept as unprofessional. I'm sure they said a lot more than that. An unnecessary aggressive maneuver. They released a video taken from inside of the American plane's cockpit that captured the incident, and it was online. I Googled it and found it over the weekend, and I tried to find it again today, and it wasn't there. Now, I don't know if it got yanked by the government or what, but it was ugly. Ugly. Quote, a People's Republic of China... A J-16 fighter performed an unnecessary aggressive maneuver during the intercept of a U.S. Air Force RC-135 aircraft. I know that one well. On May the 26th, my birthday, 2023, this was a statement from the command, the U.S. Indo-Pacific Command. The PRC pilot flew directly in front of the nose of the RC-135, forcing the U.S. aircraft to fly through wake turbulence. The RC-135 was conducting safe and routine operations over the South China Sea in international airspace in accordance with international law. Now, the video released captured the moment that the Chinese fighter kind of streaked across, to describe it as best as I can, the American plane's flight path at what a U.S. official said was about, as I recall, 400 feet, I believe. And it was taken from the inside of the RC-135 cockpit, presumably by a crew member, duh. You know, and the video also captured the moment when the reconnaissance aircraft had to fly through the wake turbulence, causing the aircraft to rock around the clock the hard way. So the American aircraft and, you know, ship transiting the international airspace and waters in the South China Sea are routinely harassed by Chinese ships and aircraft. This is nothing new. The American aircraft and warships transit through the region regularly to counter China's broad, you know, territorial maritime claims. They claim they own that whole, you know, area there, and they don't. The American statement reaffirmed that the United States will continue to fly, sail, and operate safely and responsibly wherever international law allows, and said the U.S. Indo-Pacific Joint Force will continue to fly in international airspace with due regard for safety of all the vessels and aircraft under international law. So there it is. There it is. This one could have been ugly. Could have been very, very ugly. Quote, "We don't believe this was done by pilots operating independently. We believe it's a part of a wider pattern we see in the South China Sea, the East China Sea, and the Taiwan Strait, and elsewhere. Such an incident occurred on December the 21st, 2022, when a PLA J-11 fighter performed an unsafe maneuver during the intercept of a U.S. Air Force RC-135, another one. This is according to the Indo-PACOM, and the official noted that the Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and other U.S. officials have publicly voiced a ton of concern over what's going down. Now, maybe this is why the equivalent of the Chinese Defense Secretary refuses to meet with Lloyd Austin. It's been a big deal for the last couple of days. Our Defense Secretary has said, you know, I want to come talk to you. Come on, you can come here, I can go there. And it's been no, 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 no. Now, is it because of these incidents in the South China Sea? I don't know. But the senior defense official said the U.S. is going to express and has expressed a lot of concerns about Friday's incident through the appropriate established diplomatic and military channels. Yeah. Austin is headed to Asia. You know, he hopes to meet, like I say, with the defense leaders, but it looks like it's going to be for all for naught. He may be standing in front of a door that's never answered. And again, we don't know what this meeting is genuinely about, but it's something that Austin, I know, is wanted to do for quite some time and has not had any luck in getting the attention of his equivalent over there in defense with the Chinese government, the Chinese Communist government. All right. You know, very quickly, these teenagers that attacked U.S. Marines, it's horrible over the, you know, the Memorial Day weekend of all places. This is in San Clemente, which is normally very, very quiet. A bunch of these teenagers have been charged with assault with a deadly weapon. The law feels that they did not know that the people they were attacking were Marines out of uniform. And the Marines were trying to stop them. They were just in, you know, in civilian clothes passing by. They caught these kids, you know, playing with fireworks and doing all kinds of things that they probably shouldn't have been doing. And they say, you know, cool it, calm it down, don't do that. And they turned on them and attacked on them. And they were hit in the face repeatedly while on the ground, even while standing. There were pieces of brick and debris that were thrown at them, thrown at their face. And this is all about stopping them from lighting fireworks. And instead, witnesses say that, you know, the group, rather than obeying the Marines, say, okay, I'm sorry, we'll go home. Witnesses say that the group was savagely attacking the Marines. One individual punched a Marine in the back, prompting the Marine to turn and charge at him, you know, sparking a melee. The video shows the two of the Marines lying in a fetal position on the ground as the group is kicking them and hurling racial epithets at them. And the Marines were kicked in the head and the face and the upper body. The Marines were injured, but they refused to go to the hospital. And one of them may have suffered a concussion. Man, the sheriff's department says this is San Clemente. Marines are always welcome here, and they're always going to be celebrated, always taken care of. That's why this thing is so damn tragic. And it is. On Memorial Day weekend, I think all of these kids should have been locked up. It's time for me to depart. Almost. Philip will be in shortly. He's going to elaborate on this afternoon's foray with his partner, E. Curtis Johnson, right here at News Talk 580, 105.9, KM and a J. See you in a few.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
It's free.
Ladies and gentle people, one more time on the Daily Buzz. Why am I talking that way? Should Congress pass the Fiscal Responsibility Act? And is it fiscally responsible? No, you don't have to answer that one. Should we pass it or not? Should they pass it or not? Let us know. KMJNow.com. Ta-da! With a preview of where you're going to be hiking in the next 4 hours. Man, it's a long time. Here's Philip Teresi. What's up?
Good afternoon. Hey, you know that expression, even a stopped watch is right twice a day?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have one of those for Gavin Newsom today.
Okay.
Because Gavin Newsom doesn't think that Leslie Van Houten should be let out on parole.
From the Manson gang?
Correct.
Gee, I wonder why.
Yeah, I look, there's a lot of... make no mistake, there's a lot of stuff I disagree with Gavin Newsom about. Keeping the Manson family in prison is something he and I agree on.
Oh, sure. I mean, we're all there on that page.
So we'll talk a little bit about that and why at this point in time there's a push to let her out of prison. Then we've got that Thai restaurant that popped up in the news a couple of weeks ago because a social media post turned into a viral racist misinformation campaign. They've decided they're done. They're going to close their doors. They might try reopening somewhere else under a new name, but it was too much. And then the Bitwise thing.
That's amazing.
Well, and we just saw another couple of stories pop up. The SJV Sun and GV Wire are neck and neck on this one. A Texas investment firm, NIC Byte LLC, is now suing Bitwise for north of $30 million.
What?
Yeah, the claim here is that they were the primary financier of real estate acquisitions for Bitwise, but that Bitwise, against the terms of their contract, relisted the properties for sale. So we're going to talk a little bit about what the allegations are and what this points to. Is this trying to gin up cash? Is this trying to take the money and run? There's a lot of speculation about what exactly this kind of thing means.
Okay.
But nevertheless, the lawsuit has been filed, and you've got hundreds of families now that are all kind of twisting in the wind, wondering what's going to happen next because they didn't get their last paycheck.
Yeah.
And right now they don't have any reason to expect they're going to get the next one either.
Scary stuff. Scary times.
It's a weird, sad story for a group that so many people were so enthusiastic about.
Yeah. I mean, the for the longest time they could do no wrong.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the linchpins of the downtown revitalization push.
Big time, big time.
We're going to get tech into downtown Fresno. We're going to get people down here all hours of the day and night. We're going to have a scene. It's going to be attractive. And right now the doors are locked.
Hmm.
And we'll talk about the 2024 campaign because, I mean, it really started the day after the inauguration of Joe Biden. Ron DeSantis already making the rounds in Iowa.
I didn't think he would waste any time once he got out there. I thought he was a little late getting into this in the first place, but more power to him.
What was interesting is the pastor who introduced him last night described the event as the DeSantis campaign kickoff. Apparently, we are not going to acknowledge the Twitter live feed of which we shall not speak ever again.
Yeah, just forget about that.
So we got a lot of good stuff coming up this afternoon.
All right. Thank you much.
Thank you.
And I'll be with you shortly, just after 2. State Farm Insurance, no longer insuring new homes here in California. They announced last week. They're pulling out. They're getting out. Why? Wildfire risks. Doing nothing about it. Forest management is caca, as you know. Also, the skyrocketing construction costs, not happy. Mm-mm. The insurance provider has stopped accepting, you know, home insurance applications as of last Saturday, and also halting, you know, the business policy applications. Existing policyholders, guess what? You're okay. You're not going to be, you know, affected by this shift. But State Farm acknowledges that the changes in California, you know, make it to avoid wildfires isn't what they were hoping for in the way of a future, and that's why they're getting out. I mean, we just don't do what we should be doing for wildfire, you know, mitigation and also care of the forest. But the company has added they're going to be focusing on business elsewhere. That's nice. That's good. So State Farm says bye-bye. I told you earlier, and maybe we'll get into this a little bit more tomorrow in detail. I wonder if the DA knows. California Democrats want Gavin Newsom to close 5 more prisons by 2027, and they give the reasons why. Now, closing all the prisons by, more of them by 2027, but at the same time, California is going to build something called a resilience center at a cost of $200 million. And a resilience center has to do with climate and a lot of things like that. I mean, this is so California. And we'll get into it tomorrow. $200 million. Close the prisons, but build resilience centers at a cost of $200 million. You know, and this has, you know, they were inspired by the 10-day heat wave last summer and the record temperatures in more recent years. And that's given the motivation to develop these resilience centers, according to the governor's office. And I've been through it a couple of times. I still don't know what these things are. But hey, for $200 million, it's not their money. What the hell do they care? I'm out of here. See you tomorrow. My thanks to you for tagging along today. Philip and E. Curtis, boy, it's hard to say for in a hurry. E. Curtis Johnson are next on KMJ. Sorry I butchered your name. Don't sue me. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.